There's 18 points available through these first two lessons, 14 points to do the kind of fun night we'll have early November. So grab one of those, and then your questions for the first online message by John MacArthur. I'll be finding that, let me know. Grab that. They're all pretty, like, he says it. Not anything you gotta, like, really dive into. Just to show that you listen to it. If you're listening, have this. The questions are in order. So if you say, oh, I have all but question number 3, you can find where he answers question number 2. Right there in order as you're listening to it, one question to the next. And also, I got some note cards. That's one way that I like to memorize verses is I'll write it on a note card. You can go in your pocket, pull it out throughout the day, have it on your desk, wherever you have to be working, in your car. If you're driving a lot, you can see it and look at it throughout the day to memorize. So if you want to do that to help you in your memorization, that is something I will put up here as well. And then our last thing, to help limit distractions. We have our treasure chest here for cell phones to go into. So, cell phones are going to go in there. Trust me, the world will be fine. Everything will still be there. Put them there if you're using your phone for your Bible. We've got Bibles up here just so we're limiting distractions. Because if you're like me, it's very easy to kind of like, oh, well, yeah, I'm using it for my Bible. And then like something pops up or whatever. So phones will go in there so we're not distracted. And yeah, so come on up. Grab your notebook. Grab these two things. Deposit phones in there. Grab a note card if you need it. And then hopefully I haven't taken up too much of the limited time Brian has.
I think I'm just going to get it rock out. Big time.
Yeah, I know. I'll have to talk to him about not going over next time. You know, it's easier to work with some guys than others. They're pretty set, and they, you know, you're not going to convince them to do otherwise. There you go.
All right, guys. We are limited in our time, so I am very privileged to be here to speak to you guys. My favorite thing to do is talk to younger people. Isaac had asked me to take a session or two of this Fundamentals of the Faith. We'll have a little lecture here, okay? And I will let you guys chime in if you want to answer questions or ask questions. It'll be participation. And I'm sorry you had to hear me twice in one Sunday. Hopefully we won't do that again. All right. We're going to be doing an overview of the Bible today. Okay? If you have a Bible in front of you, that's what we'll be using. Okay? I have 3 points that we're going to cover today, and this is taken from our curriculum here from John MacArthur, Fundamentals of the Faith. And so, like any good Bible study, like any good, building blocks of what we want to know as Christians, we always want to start with the Word of God. That's the foundation of everything, right? This is just one vehicle for that, you know. This is based on God's word, and where it deviates from God's word, we're going to not follow it, right? Or if I deviate from God's word, you're not going to follow me, right? We want to know God's word. That's why it's so important that's where we start. And we're just going to try to get a grasp on what it is, okay? So if you're taking notes, it's easy. Number one, we're going to put down the word revelation. Number one is revelation. Number two, really, really challenging concept. The Bible. So revelation, number one. Number two, the Bible. And number three, this is the way I have it set up. It's not Not exactly the same as it is in the book, but number three, we're going to put inspiration. We have some subheadings under each one, but Revelation, Bible, inspiration. Okay? We're going to get into the first section right now, Revelation. And before we do that, I want to give you a roadmap of where we're going with this. I kind of did, but we're going to talk about Revelation. What is Revelation? I kind of gave you a roadmap, so you don't worry about that. What is Revelation?
A book.
A book in the Bible? Okay. Someone else? Meredith.
Revelation is like something coming to you, like an idea or something. Like.
Okay. Like I had a revelation?
Yeah.
Yes.
The prophecy that's going to happen.
A prophecy? Okay. Those are kind of all what I'm looking for. What actually what I'm talking about, it's not quite the answer. It is, revelation is general, I'm talking about general revelation, and it's, it is a book of the Bible, it is a prophecy, it is something that comes to you, it's all those things. Well, let's think about the word itself, about what revelation is. What do you think the word revelation comes from? What does it mean? Yes.
To be revealed.
To be revealed. Very, very good. You know, some other words we might use is disclose, make clear, unveil, make known. Okay, so we're talking about general revelation, the idea of how God makes himself known to his creatures. And there's two ways. There's subheadings, A and B, or however you want to put it. A, there is natural revelation, and B, there's special revelation. It's all very important. So, I want to look at Psalm 19 and maybe turn there. We have very limited time, so we're not going to read the whole thing. But just let's stay in Psalm 19 for a minute. We'll go back there. We'll be there, and we'll go back there several times today. Who is familiar with this chapter in the Bible? Who's ever read it before? Josh. What's the first verse talk about? We need to read it. What does the first verse say?
Blessed are those whose way is blameless.
Okay, so that's Psalm 119, which is also a very good chapter in the Bible.
Sorry.
We could also go to that one, because it's all about the Bible. Yeah, Meredith.
The first verse says, the heavens declare the glory of God, make the stars proclaim his work of his hands.
Okay. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, the King James says. And if we just stayed in the verses up to verse 6, talks about the heavens, talks about creation, talks about God speaking to us, right? Look at all the words it uses. It says, heavens declare the glory of God, the sky above proclaims his handiwork, day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals, that's the word reveal, reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor words, but their voice is not heard. The voice goes out through all the earth, and so on. So God is speaking to the world how? In these verses. It's an open book test. Through nature, right? The heavens. The firmament, the sky, the Lord is speaking. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Actually, Romans 1 quotes Psalm 19. But let's look at verse 18. Someone could read verse 18, please. Go ahead, Caleb.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth.
Okay, keep reading.
For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his internal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse.
Very, very good. Just call that good there. So, in the things... ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, God has been making himself clearly perceived, his eternal power and his invisible attributes. So God does speak to us through nature. And this is called natural revelation. I don't want to spend too much time on that. What, just for an example, when you use this passage or just with your own thinking cap, what are some things that God clearly speaks to us through nature? We look at nature, what do we know about God? Anybody? Yes?
He can make anything.
He can make anything. Power. Very good.
He's creative.
He's creative. Very good. Maybe we have one or two other things that we can see. When you look at the sunset, what do you think? That's beauty. Thank you. Power, beauty, creativity, wisdom, right? I mean, the things, you know, look at a honeycomb and how bees do that. Get that.
He's mighty.
He's mighty. Very good. So we can see some of these things from creation. What can't we see about God from creation and nature? What can't it tell us?
That he's immortal?
I think it actually kind of does, because he had to predate time, predate existence. So possibly, maybe. Sorry about that one. But I think his eternal power and Godhead, his attributes. Can it tell you how to get saved? Tell you about Jesus. There's certain things that nature cannot tell you, and that's why we have something called, wait for it, special revelation. Okay? So there's natural revelation and there's special revelation. What do you think special revelation is?
Revelation from God.
Revelation from God, okay. Natural revelation would be that too. Go ahead, Ezra.
Something that God like explicitly like says.
Okay, something that God like explicitly says. That's exactly correct. There's different ways in which God does it. It's outside of the norm of just nature, right? So God would use, like in the life of Joseph that we've been studying, dreams. Or God would speak from heaven. Or God would use visions. Or he would use men to write his word. Okay? And so God used all different kinds of ways. Let's turn to Hebrews 1, verse 1. Someone finds that, read that, please.
Hebrews 1, verse 1 says, long ago God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and different
places. God spoke to the prophets by different times and in different ways. Various times and various ways. Many different ways, many different times. Right? He told them. And you know, Daniel had these weird visions. And David would be looking at the stars and writing these beautiful songs about the things the Lord was telling him in his heart. Moses would receive from God the Ten Commandments, written with the finger of God on stone. Nebuchadnezzar would look at a wall and see a giant hand writing on the wall. Right? There's different times. These people heard these different things. God would speak to them. God communicated to them. And who did he communicate to? Who did he communicate to? Who did he talk to? The prophets. Who are they? It's a general word. Who are they? The prophets. They're the guys who wrote this book. They're the prophets.
The writers.
The writers, right. They're the ones God spoke to. Okay? And so we have the record of the special revelation here in our hands, where God explicitly spoke to us and to many different men, many different times, many different ways. We have the record here. I'm not ruling out the fact that God could speak to you audibly or show you a vision or a dream. Maybe that happens, possibly. Some people say in the Muslim world it's been seen and happens, and some people claim that. Well, you know, what we do know is we have this completed word of God right here in our hands. that anything like that would not, if it's from him, would not contradict this word. Okay? So pretty much for us, we have all we need right here. Not pretty much. We have all we need right here. God's special revelation. It's enough, and I want to read these verses before we move on to the next section. So I'm going to get 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17. Raise your hand when you get it. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Raise your hand when you get it. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Okay, go ahead. Isaac.
I have 2 Peter 1.
Okay, who's got 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17? Go ahead, Amy.
Read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. You have been taught by... You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work.
Okay, so it's enough. Enough to get saved with. It's enough for everything we need to be a complete and good Christian. For every good work, all the scriptures, what we have here is what we need. Okay? Very good. Who's got 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4? Go ahead, Isaac. Read it.
All right. May grace and peace be multiplied to you.
1 Peter 2 and 4? Is that where you are?
Oh, I think it's 2 Peter.
No, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 2. 1. Before. I did say 2 Peter.
Yeah.
You're right. Go ahead. Read it again. Maybe I got the wrong passage. Go ahead.
May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness, the knowledge of Him who called to us His own glory and excellence by which He granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Okay, so what does it tell us about the Word of God? What words are used there to describe the Word of God? How about precious promises? The knowledge of Him, right? Is that what you're thinking, Silas?
Yeah.
Okay. And what is it? How does it tell us it's enough? All right. Read it again, Isaac. That part. All that pertains to life and godliness. We don't need to be looking to other things. Sometimes other things can assist, but the Word of God is enough in and of itself. Okay. So it's complete. Revelation 22, 18 through 19. Go ahead, Silas. You got that one. Please read it. Thank you.
I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that describe in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and within the holy city, which are described in this book.
Okay, so we don't have too much of the Bible, and we don't have not enough of the Bible. We have just what we need. We don't need extra books. We don't need to neglect. We should never neglect any part of the Word of God. It's all Scripture is what we need. Okay? Let's move on to the next section. So that was the inspiration. What kinds of inspiration, or well, that was revelation. What kind of revelations are there? What do we have? What are the two?
Natural and special.
Natural and special. What is natural? Revelation?
God speaking through His creation.
God speaking through His creation. What's special revelation, Amy?
I interrupted that.
Okay.
Something that God specifically
says. Yeah. Actually, I have a good definition I should read, okay? I didn't read that, and I'll read that right now here. I thought I wrote it down. Did I? Oh, here it is. Nope. I don't have that. Thought I wrote it down. My notes are not very, very clear. So I just let's move on to the next thing. The Bible. Okay? We're going to look at how we got the Bible, names of the Bible, and then we're going to do a Bible survey. That's where I spend a lot of time on Bible survey. Okay? So you're going to put your seatbelts on, and we're going to hit the pedal to the metal here. Let's talk about how we got the Bible. So I'm going to turn to 2 Peter 1:21. 2 Peter 1:21. You got it? Raise your hand. Go ahead, Peter.
For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit of them.
Okay. So men, holy men of God, were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Don't you like that? It's the idea of a ship on the sea. The wind, you know, the word for spirit in Scripture is the same word for wind, or the same word for breath. Okay? It's the same word. Okay? So God carried these men along like a sailboat on the sea, guiding them as they rowed. Right? It was a genuine ship. A special ship. Each one of the ships are a little bit different, different colored. You know, big ship, small ship, little ship. But each of those ships were moved where God wanted to be moved. Now these men wrote things down. The Holy Scriptures, these holy men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote down the very words of God. Now, how we got our Bible, it was written over, you guys can participate anytime you want. It was written how many years was it, Meredith?
1,400.
1,400, you were 1,400 and 1,600 years. Very good. And how many different authors? Caleb, I know you know.
It's like
60? 40. 40. Okay, very good. In the general vicinity there, they're not exactly sure how many, but around 40 authors. How many different languages was the Bible originally written in?
Three.
Which were they?
Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek.
Yes, very good, Elizabeth. Thank you. And how many books were written in total? Yes, Levi.
66.
66, yeah. If we really wanted to be cool, like that's a really cool preacher guy, for the young guys, we could call this Route 66. I like some cars and stuff, but I'm not that cool. Didn't do that. But yeah, 39 Old Testament books, 27 New Testament books. Just to make it simple, that's how God got it. He used all those different things, gave us our Bible, used men of God who were holy men of God who were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now let's move to the names of the Bible. The Bible has different names. What do we call the Bible? Jonah.
The Holy Bible.
The Holy Bible.
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Levi?
He took it.
He took it, okay. Any other ones? Yes.
The Sword of the Spirit.
The Sword of the Spirit. Wow, that's a good one. Caleb?
The Bible.
The Bible, yeah, we said that once. That's always... How about the Scriptures? The Word of God, you guys said that. The Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. You know, our Jewish friends call it the Tanakh. We really want to be cool. The Tanakh, what you got?
You can call it the Sword.
The Sword, yeah, that's what Karish said.
Oh.
So you're a step behind there, Jonah. You got to keep up. The Writings. Now, it's a funny thing. This is from the book here, the Writings. Scripture means the Writings. Bible means the book. Okay? Another word, and we talked about this in our systematic theology class at Monday evening Bible study. Another word is used as the canon. Now, I love that imagery, the canon of God's word, like a giant, you know, weapon blasting a projectile in the way of wickedness, and you know, that'd be cool if it meant that, but that's not what it means. Canon, what do you think? Does anyone know what canon is? Yes, Meredith.
Canon means complete.
Complete? Okay, I'm going to challenge you on that, but in a sense, yes. So we have, even today, people use the word. You can do that like in tempo as I speak. You can just use your pen. and just like click as I talk. So you'll say, oh, that's not canon. It'd be like an official narrative, official story. Like you might watch your favorite movie characters and someone say, well, Captain America, we all know that he was Superman's best friend. You say, no, wait a minute. That's not canon. Right? Okay? Forgive me of the illustration. But you all know what I mean. Christian knows exactly what it means. That doesn't fit. Right? The canon is the rule by which we determine if it belongs. That's actually what the word means. It's the rule. So we can say the scripture is the canon, it's the rule for our life, but it actually means how we determined what belongs. The canon of scripture. What doesn't belong is the book of Tobit, or the book of Esdras, or the book of, I'm trying to think of the Wisdom of Solomon. It's not in there. The additions to the book of Esther, the additions to the book of Daniel. These are all hidden books that, oh, they missed. They didn't miss. We have the 66 books, and it's called the canon. We'll get to that more later if we have time. We won't have time. Okay. So we have all these books of the Bible. We're going to go through them. We have 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament books. You know, we have in our hands, most of our Bibles are very similar. Now, there's some discussion based on, you know, certain people have preferences of certain Bible translations. Now, Silas, would you know of one that people prefer above and beyond other ones?
A translation?
A particular translation that people really like.
People like the NKJV.
Okay.
The ESV.
Jonah's got one.
The King James Version.
The King James Version, right? We have these translations we prefer. Now, some people think the King James is the most reliable translation, but you know what they don't have? The Bucket people in Borneo, they don't have the King James. They have the Bucket Bible, but they don't have it completely yet. They're working on it. It's not the King James, right? The King James doesn't speak to them. Right? So we have different translations put together by scholars who've studied the original manuscripts. And we have some very reliable translations. Now, if we did a comparison, we got all of our different translations up here. We got the ESV, the RSV, the CSB, the Darby, the NIV, the LSB, the NASB, King James, the New King James. We compared them. We're not going to find a lot of difference. And see that they say mostly the same thing. 99.999% of the same. Okay? We have reliable manuscripts. It's not to say there isn't some little arguments. There isn't some concerns about differing things here and there, how it can be translated. But by and large, it is reliable and consistent translation. Now, we have my next passage, or the next part. We have 66 different points I want to go through. You open your Bible, the beginning of your Bible. Yes. Something called the table of contents.
Oh.
These are my 66 points. Okay, this is God's word. Okay? You have a short period of time. Now, I've pointed out this illustration before. I did the math. You can do the math yourself. How long would it take you to get through the whole Bible if you did, let's say, can't remember if it's a verse. Let's say, I think it's a chapter a week. You do a deep dive into the God's Word. You're going to leave no stone unturned. You're going to do word studies, and you're going to read the commentaries, and you're going to just parse it out, work on it for a whole week. Would that be a good pace to get through the Bible, to give it what it deserves? How long would that take?
Like 5 years.
5 years?
It'd take more than that.
Chapter a week.
It's 21 years.
It takes 17 years.
Oh.
Minimum. Do we have 17 years? How long did the disciples have before they started, after they met Jesus? Probably 3 years. We don't have that kind of time. So as far as studying God's Word, we need to be aggressive. Okay? So let's go through here. Let's look at it. We're going to do this real quick. Okay? So I'm going to say one of these one of these books in the Bible, and I want to hear from you some characters and events. Maybe one or two, that's it. Okay, I'm going to start at Genesis, and I'm telling you right now, we're going to go fast here. So, Genesis.
Adam and Eve.
Cain and Abel. Okay. Anything else?
Noah.
Okay, let's move to the next one. Exodus.
Abraham.
Moses.
Pharaoh.
Moses and Pharaoh. Anything else?
Commandments.
Ten Commandments. Anything else? A big thing.
Israelites.
Called Exodus. What is it called? Exodus. Getting out of Egypt. Okay, let's go to Leviticus. What is Leviticus all about?
Sacrifices.
Very good. Let's move on. No, Numbers. What goes on in Numbers? Just one or two
counting
things.
The people.
Counting the people. Okay, good. Something else?
Dividing into tribes.
What's that?
Dividing
into tribes. They're already divided into tribes.
The law?
The law? Not as much. Yep. How about the bronze serpent? That's a story in there. Or the
wandering
in the wilderness, or sending out the spies. That was in Numbers. Let's move on. Deuteronomy.
The law.
The law. Okay. What does Deuteronomy mean? Does anyone know? It's Greek. From the Greek Old Testament. The Greek Old Testament. We get Exodus, Leviticus, Genesis. They're all from the Greek Old Testament. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. So the old... Exodus has the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy has the Ten Commandments. So he kind of summarizes. Moses summarizes everything. Okay, let's keep going. Joshua. What happens?
Joshua.
Okay, what happens?
Jericho.
What else? Okay, anything else?
Crossing the Jordan.
Okay, that's good enough. Let's keep going. Judges.
Samson.
Okay.
Delilah.
Samson, Delilah. Anything else?
Jalen, her man.
Jail and her nail. I like that. Okay, let's distinctively one or two. Anything else from Judges? Who were the judges?
Judges.
Who led Israel?
They led Israel. Very good. Okay, let's keep going. Ruth. Amy. Ruth and Boaz. And Naomi. Yep.
Obadiah
is in there too. Very good. Obed. So what else happens in Ruth? Just one event besides just people's names.
She marries Boaz.
Okay, something at the very beginning of the book. It's not cool.
Her husband and sons died.
Yeah, very good. There's a famine. Very good. Let's keep going. First Samuel.
Israel wants a king.
Wow, Peter, you're good.
Hannah.
Not bad.
Hey, you know what, though? Hey, Peter, this is an open book test, so Peter's just doing what he could do, you know, and he's. You can do it from memory, or you can open your Bibles, too. It's good both ways. What else happens in 1 Samuel?
Hannah.
Okay.
David and Goliath.
What chapter is that?
Word.
Chapter 17. Okay, let's keep going. Let's jump down to 1 Kings. What happens in 1 Kings?
1 Kings.
What king does it start with? Ezra?
David.
Solomon. David is in 2 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. What is 1 Chronicles? 1 and 2 Chronicles. Yes,
David.
David, you're right. So,
God makes a promise to David?
Yeah. So, Chronicles and Kings are parallel passages, guys. Chronicles covers the same ground as 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. 1 and 2 Chronicles covers the same ground. So you see that in the scripture. Sometimes it'll go over the same material. Let's keep going. Let's move on to...
Ezra.
So, you know, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, what do we call that?
The Pentateuch.
The Pentateuch, the five books, or the Torah. What do we call Joshua through Esther?
Historical books.
Very good. All right. Now we're going to look at Job through Song of Solomon. What are those
books
called?
Poetry,
right? So, Job. Something from Job.
The guy who like, lost everything.
It bad.
Okay.
There's a scene in heaven.
Did we not skip
Ezra? We skipped all kinds. Sorry, Ezra, we skipped that. You know what? So, you guys, this is one of my challenges to you. This is something you can do at your own time. Get out a piece of paper. Write down every book of the Bible in a list. And leave some space next to each book. And quickly write down, do exactly what we did now. Write down some, maybe the three most important things from that book. Go all the way through. And I guarantee you're going to hit some books, maybe like Zephaniah. You're going to be like, right? Now, I'm not going to do the New Testament. You guys know what's there. I know we're way out of time. I'm going to move to my last point. It's the most important point. Actually, the Bible is very important. You're going to spend your whole life doing this as a Christian. If you stay following the Lord with His people, attending church, learning about God, you're going to spend your entire life studying this book. You don't just get it down and think, oh, I've got God's Word down. Although you do want to do a deep dive into each book as you can, if you have time. It does not mean you'll be done with it. Okay, let's think about inspiration. What does inspiration mean? Does anyone have an idea? Someone turn to 2 Timothy 3.16. 2 Timothy 3.16, turn to it real quick. Hebrews 4.12, someone turn to it real quick. Genesis 2.7. 2 Timothy 3.16, Hebrews 4.12, Genesis 2.7. What do you have?
Genesis 2.7.
Read it.
You have forgotten. Are you kidding me?
Then the Lord brought forth man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person.
Okay, breathe into him the life of... How does that have to do with inspiration? We'll find out. Who's got the other book? Passages. Go ahead, Levi.
For the sword of God is living and powerful, cut with any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Okay, 2 Timothy 3.16, who's got that? Go ahead, Elizabeth.
2 Timothy 3.16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness.
Okay, so it's inspired of God. Now, if you have an ESV, the 2 Timothy 3.16 passage is going to say, God breathed. Inspire means to breathe into. That's why I had to read the Genesis passage. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Read the Hebrews passage, that God's word is living and powerful. Inspiration means this book is a living book, is living and powerful, and it's God breathed. These are God. When you speak, you're actually breathing. And this is the very breath, the very life of God speaking to us in these books. Okay? What inspiration is not, I'll tell you that right now, it's not automatic writing. It's not like someone took a pen, sat down, and then just moved their hand. That's not what it means to be moved along. God used real men with real life, real experience, and use them to produce the original manuscripts that we get our Bible from, okay? I'm so out of time here. Let's see how we can end here. Okay, definition of from your manual on what inspiration is, and I thought it was so good I didn't want to come up with my own definition. So this is how John MacArthur defines it. Inspiration is God overseeing and directing men to write his words. This is a process by which God, as the instigator, worked through human beings without destroying their individual personality styles and styles to produce divinely authoritative writings. So even though this book is God's word, he used men to do it. Like I said, those different ships being blown upon the waters. All different kinds of ships, right? You have fishermen. You had kings, you had shepherds, you had judges, you had priests, different kinds of people that God used to write his word. I'm sure you listened to the message, which I listened to some of it, from John MacArthur. That's part of your assignment. And as you guys discuss it the next couple weeks, you will go over some of the things I was not able to. But I'm going to close with a word of prayer. I missed my favorite part, the canonization of Scripture. He's going to have to do a study on that on your own. Let's pray, okay? Father God, we just thank you for this book. We thank you that it tells us everything we need. It's sufficient for us to for life and godliness. It has your exceeding precious promises. the knowledge of Christ in it. It tells us about our Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that it'll take eternity for us to delve the depths of it, but we thank you for what we can understand and what you've made clear to us. And I pray that each young person here would devote their life to understanding it. Lord, we thank you that we can know that it is your inspired word, Lord, we can tremble at your word and trust your word that is reliable. And Lord, I just pray you bless each one. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, a couple quick things. So, memory verse to be memorizing through this is right there on your first lesson sheet. Memory verse. So, 2 Timothy 3:16 is what we are doing right now. Don't forget, next week is our first week in our classes. So, we're going through the first half. So, aim to do 2 or 3 pages of the workbook. Make sure you're bringing this back with you next week. This is what you're using. You'll be going through that with your teachers. And then if you need any help finding that sermon online, just easiest way, Google Foundations of Faith sermons, and it'll come up. There's a, like I said, last week's playlist on Spotify I've been listening to. I found them on YouTube. They're on John MacArthur's website. If you have any questions about finding that or anything else, call, text, email, let me know, and I can get those answered. But, all right, that's all we got.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Forget your phone.
Yeah, don't forget to grab your phones. The world survived without you. Good job.
Guys,